Golf Weekly
from Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Off the Ball Open in Abu Dhabi this November. Book your place now at offtheball.com/open.
Have you seen anything like that?
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Suck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course I would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course I want to play at the weekend.
Now then, welcome along, Golf Weekly friends. We are excited. The US Open number 119 is at Pebble Beach. We are here to discuss every and all aspects of it. In studio this afternoon, we are joined by Nathan Murphy. Hello, Nathan Murphy.
How are you?
Good. Excitement levels are up. Peter Lawrie.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. And from Manchester, Fionn Davenport.
Hey, gentlemen.
It's lovely to have you all here. Don't mind me, I've just been sitting here on my own for the last 2-3 weeks with the listeners doing Golf Weekly. That's fine.
Every week I tuned in, I heard you say, I'm here by myself, and I went, nah. No, Murphy, what's the point?
I hear what you're saying. Peter, you're in good form?
I am indeed, Joe.
Fionn, all good?
Very good, thank you.
Did I see you were out California way?
I was, I just got back yesterday.
Ah, you wouldn't have thought us hanging on for a few days, no?
I was on the plane and I thought, geez, wouldn't it be wonderful if the lad said, listen, here's a few extra quid, go up to the San Francisco area and why don't you report live from Pebble Beach? Hmm. But my dream just wasn't to be true.
The lads have never said, here's a few extra quid, nor will they.
No.
Or here's a few quid.
That's what I was going to say. Where's the first part of it coming from?
10 times 0 is?
0.
So listen, I was just saying to you before we came on, Peter, I am so excited about this because Pebble Beach gives the US Open just that extra little bit of gravitas. We're not going to be back there until 2027 or something, which seems very far away. So I just can't wait for this. This is the bee's knees.
Especially with so many people playing well going into it. Mm. This could be probably one of the best iconic US Opens there has been in many a year.
Have you played Pebble?
I actually did. I played it yesterday in Spawa.
There you go.
She plugged.
Dear God.
Edit that out.
We can play it on Top Tracer.
Come on.
Shameful.
There you go.
That's outrageous.
And it's actually, I had a guy over with me from America who plays Pebble Beach a lot. And he says it's spot on.
Did he say it was even better playing it at Spawa?
He did, yeah.
Why would you even want to travel?
You don't even have to move.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure there's no decent restaurants ratting around Pebble if you wanted a bit of grub afterwards. Not like Temple Oak.
Terrible part of the world. Have you played Pebble Beach in 3D form?
In
real life?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, we hear good things.
So, I've walked this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've been there. Fionn, you've been out Monterey a good bit, haven't you?
I have. I've been to Pebble twice. I haven't played it either, but I have, like Nathan, I've walked it as well. It's really hard to get a tee time. Like, they put out 4 balls every 12 minutes, and they have rangers moving you along the entire time. So, like, if you're hitting an errant shot or you're hitting too many errant shots, they just tell you, pick up the ball and keep going.
Really?
It's I can't imagine it's a particularly pleasant experience if you're not a tidy golfer, because you're paying $500 and it's trophy golf at its best in some respects. So you get, like, carts with guys drinking, smoking cigars, which is a lot of fun, sure. But if you're there just to play golf, I'd imagine it can be quite frustrating just because of its popularity.
I can't decide if that's a part of the world I would love to live in, around the Monterey Peninsula and Carmel and 17 Mile Drive. Obviously, I'm never really going to have the option.
I wouldn't stress
Or whether the people who live there are actually the worst people in the world.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I think on balance, I'd try it.
Euro Millions, Nathan.
I would accept Euro being Millions. One of the worst people in the world if I moved there.
Yeah, I think you have to stay as well a couple of nights at the lodge as well if you want to play Pebble. But listen, we will save up, Fionn. We'll save our money and one day we'll play Pebble at Spawa.
€20.
Like that. So a few tweets then. Adrian Bain says, lad, Stevie Williams on the bag for Jason Day this week. Might hurry him up a little bit. There'll be some late nights of golf watching this week for the pod and friends of said pod. Any suggestions on what to watch at Molloy Joe if the coverage isn't up to scratch? There's an interesting question. Chernobyl, I think everyone's watching.
Oh, I'm halfway through. God, it's depressing.
Fionn, Chernobyl, have you got there?
It's the best thing I've seen in 10 years.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Mm. Couldn't have come around at a better time, because Game of Thrones just finished and I thought, I'm going to struggle to get into anything again.
Yeah.
And then you're watching this, as Fionn says, you're going, dear God.
Yeah. Thankfully, it is on Sky Sports. I know I appreciate not everyone has Sky Sports, but as opposed to Peter was just saying before we came on air, at least we don't have an 11 Sports debacle at the moment. Crucially, because you can at least record Sky Sports. I mean, I'm not so sure I'll be up till 3 a.m.
Ah, Joe.
I've got Monday morning free.
Are you a golf fan or not?
I'm a golf nut. I cancelled golf with Dave McIntyre on Monday morning because I said I need to keep this space free in case I need to watch the US Open.
We'll see what the leaderboard looks like.
Yeah.
I'm intending to stay up. I've sort of looked at my Monday morning and thought I can go back to bed.
Okay.
I'll work this if needs be.
To school,
exactly, do that and go back to bed for a couple of hours. Obviously, 2010 I stayed up because it was Graham McDull. Mm. I think if you've any, and it, you look at how stacked it is, and, as Peter said, in terms of form players,
yeah,
it looks impossible for it not to be an interesting leaderboard unless Brooks Koepka is six shots clear, in which case I'm definitely going to bed. No offence, Brooks.
Do you get less of a buzz, Fionn, by watching it ostensibly live the next morning because you haven't checked your phone and you don't know what's going on, but under the knowledge that you're completely on your own and isolated in this earth?
I absolutely would think that. I've often promised myself that I won't find out what the score is of an event and I watch it fresh, and I just don't have that kind of inner strength. So I end up I start watching either fast forward through bits, so you're not watching it as live, or you're not watching it in true time, or I get bored about half an hour into it, find out who won, and then kind of accelerate right to the end. So it's always a kind of a less enjoyable experience.
It's hard not to fast forward on a Monday morning and go, you know what, maybe I'll just watch the back nine.
Mm.
Whereas maybe all the excitement comes on the front nine. The other thing is, you're in a fortunate position, you won't need to leave the house on Monday morning.
Correct.
I'm going to struggle to walk up the lane at school with my kids without somebody going, oh,
did you see that?
Did you see that McIlroy on 16? No, I did not. I've recorded.
That's true. That is true. I will get up.
Phone off.
And walk from my bed. Yeah, phone off. And I deleted Twitter off the old phone there a while back. And so that's your, that'd be your big temptation.
WhatsApp, though.
Yeah, no, okay, so phone off. I will literally
it's the only way. You literally have to turn your phone off.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can do that. Walk to the kitchen, make a pot of coffee. You know, sometimes, you know, you can turn on the TV as you head to the recorded part.
No,
like, oh, no, it's on Sky Sports News. Oh, I've seen Tiger Woods lifted. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I've had that. I'm always, if I've something recorded and I arrive in late at night, I'm there figuring it out in my head. I'm like, right, I've pressed forward 8 times. That should make it on a channel that I don't have. Turn down the sound. Second it comes on, back to the TV.
That's a serious operation.
Ah, lads, just watch it live.
Well, okay, look, we'll see. We'll see what the leaderboard is like. I mean, there is something awful about watching the golf on a Monday morning when it's sun-drenched outside. It just feels all wrong. Dave Tyrrell caught up on the Mo Norman piece. I'd never heard of Mo Norman, but he's been looking at him on YouTube ever since. Did you ever come across Mo Norman in your days? No?
I've heard about him, watched quite a bit of it on YouTube and stuff like that. No, not in person, though.
It's a mad old swing. Big takeaway, no pun intended, about Mo Norman's golf swing was when he went to Titleist, they did testing with him. And the head of Titleist, Peter Uihlein's father, he was saying, and the head of research as well was saying, Mo Norman was the only golfer. Now think about that, and all the Titleist people that have been in testing and hitting golf balls in perfect conditions off lovely mats. Mo Norman was the only player in the history of Titleist that had zero side spin on his ball. Zero.
Zero, yeah.
Now, all of, you know, I've got like 2,000 or 3,000 side spin on my ball. He had just zero. They said, frankly, it doesn't make sense. It's insane.
Who makes all the money out of all the YouTube videos of Mo Norman?
Yeah, good question. Interestingly, Titleist, for the last 10 years of his life, because they didn't want to see such a kind of... He obviously has challenges as a personality, but we were talking last week with Lauren Rubenstein. Titleist gave him $5,000 a month, every month, for the last 10, 15 years of his life.
It was a very generous offer, I have to admit.
Yeah.
But if you Google him and your first picture that comes up, it's, you have Faldo watching him, Norman, Price, and Fred Couples are all standing there. They all obviously much younger than they are now, watching Mo Norman hit balls. It's incredible that he had that kind of stature in the game, but never was able to produce it outside of Canada.
Yeah. We had the quote last week from Tiger Woods, only two people in the history of the game truly own their swings, Ben Hogan, Mo Norman, said Tiger Woods. Kevin Ward, off to play Enniscrone this morning. Any chance of a US Open preview pod for my drive home tomorrow lunchtime? He asked yesterday. Almost. He reckons Shane Larry's going to win it. Anthony Coscoran says, take it away, Jim. Oh yeah, this is great. If you want a quick guide to Pebble Beach, aside from Spawell, there's a YouTube video where Jim Nance, who obviously got married on the seventh hole and lives there, he talks through each hole. It's quite quick, 10 minutes, entertaining. Really good guy to Pebble. And he gives nice little anecdotes.
Did you see Phil Mickelson at Jim Nance's house?
Yeah.
So Jim Nance has a replica of the seventh hole at his house.
Fair play.
It's his back garden.
Mickelson was over for lunch, presumably.
These are the kind of people you're not so sure you want to be hanging out with.
Yeah.
Phil and Jim Nance, sure, but it's the other people in the video.
Yeah, but do you want to hang around with Jim Nance? Like,
he's silky smooth.
An evening at a dinner would be nice.
Who is the real Jim Nance?
Get the stories.
He's always on.
You know? You don't want to stay for breakfast because the toast situation could get a little bit weird.
Yeah. Jim Nance. Phil got a hole in one. Anyway.
I think your microphone's in something funny.
Sorry, is it? Okay, I'll
fix
it.
I think it's inside out.
See? Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry. That'll make things much better.
Outrageous.
Sorry, you swear I've never been here. Phil got a hole in one anyway, is the point. Brian Hegarty, lads, McDowell on the 18th in Canada. What a put. It shows how much he wanted to play in the Open. And an Irish one too in the Canadian Open. Mentions a drink manufacturer. Don't do golf competitions for the Irish, but ... Yeah, I guess Fionn, worth a mention. It was, McDowell holding that put on 18 is kind of a nice moment. He seems like a decent fella.
It was amazing.
Sorry, I'm underpaid.
Just to point out that even if Graham McDowell had missed that putt, he still would have qualified for the Open.
Is that right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. The way it turned out.
He needed a two-putt, didn't he? Okay.
Now, here. So I'm delighted for McDowell. But that delight is tempered by the visual of, that Get to Know Graham video that came out a few weeks ago?
No, it's years old. It's years old. But I think actually people in the Off the Ball office have
brought it back to life.
Brought it back to life in a big way.
Okay, so that's why it's just like I'm just one of the guys like hitting pool shots, just me, a couple of drinks.
Not a tattoo kind of guy.
Yeah.
Not a tattoo kind of guy. Not me. Just a few pints of Guinness with the guys.
The lads outside are so good at doing impersonations. There's so many lines in it. There's one where he's like, wait, Batman gets all the girls. Where is it for a superhero?
It's a superhero. Yeah. It's like, but when? Like, have you ever seen a Batman movie? Graham, what's wrong with you?
Favourite movie. Like, favourite movie. Batman's... And his answer was, when they asked him, what's your favourite movie? He said, there's so many to choose from.
I guess Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Going for Shawshank.
But he's a sports person. Do you like Shawshank Redemption?
I've watched it.
Is it your favourite movie of all time?
For a generation of sports people, Shawshank was the favourite movie.
I'm sorry, we had our own Graham McDowell moment, let's not forget, at the Irish Open last year, where we asked him about his recent form, and he looked at the microphone, looked into the camera and said, guess like you guys, I'm a little bit off the ball right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
At the time, you cackled.
Which I was like...
Graham, you're so funny.
He's just so good at it.
Are we friends, Graham?
Almost, like, he's a bit of a corporate monster.
A bit.
But he's brilliant at it. Like... Mm. We were only chatting to him for about 30 seconds and straight away he clicked and he had his little line ready.
Well, he's won awards from the press over in America for being
accommodating he is.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to have to say nothing on this one because the more I say it, the more I get given out to
him. You're going to have to say something.
You look at it and you roll your eyes. Is that what you're saying?
I just want to vomit, to be honest with you. I just want to vomit about, I put some champagne swings on it. He just comes out with the most outlandish, rubbish shite that you've ever heard of. It's just
I'm not having this. No, Graham McDowell is I would put Graham McDowell in my top 10 favourite sports people.
Is it not too much, though? It's unbelievably cheesy.
I think it's unbelievably cheesy, but I think there's
this
a sincerity underneath.
In Northern Ireland, right? He has the Northern Ireland accent, and he's more American than...
But have you heard Seamus Power talk? This is what happens when people go to college in America.
The accent's the accent. I just feel like he's in the Jim Nance camp. Like, you don't go on like this all the time, surely. You're not talking like this to your wife of a Friday.
I just have to shake my head.
Why don't we stick on a Shawshank?
So many to choose from.
Oh, dear. How have we gone there? Sorry, we're meant to be saying nice things about Graham McDowell, and Peter's dragged us down an absolute heap here.
Can I say, 30-foot putt to qualify for the Open is amazing. Also, just, I think his corporate side is hilariously cheesy. But, Joe, do you remember a few years ago where I interviewed him and you and I, we sat in, where I was all nervous about. I spoke to him for about 45 minutes and my takeaway was he's one of the smart guys. He's really, really smart. So he knows that he's in this for a short time, not a long time. Yeah. He's got to make money. This is a guy who knows he just knows how to play that game. And, you know, you can say it's cynical, but like it's a career. It's not a long career. And he knows he wants to make the most of it he can. And that's the impression I got. And but he's definitely came across as a really, really smart guy.
I think it's the corporate shtick. I think it is palatable because beneath that, there is a, I'd be fairly confident in saying there's a good person. So you can, if it's a like, who's the guy in Happy Gilmore?
Adam Sandler.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
No.
It's not a Shooter McGavin act, I don't feel. I feel it's like a genuine thing. So you can kind of put up with the shtick in so much as you can.
It's genuine.
I feel like he's a good person.
Oh, he is a good person. Yeah.
So I can put up with the layer of absolute. What?
Look, I'm the type of guy I'll have to say rubbish that he goes on with. It's just incredible that people suck it up and listen to it. But he is a very nice fella deep down, and you get to know him, and he's a nice guy, and on the golf course, nice guy, around the golf course, nice guy. But just stop with the interviews and stop with the...
Well, you know what? There was that thing last year, you had it, Nathan, where they looked at ranking points and results, and they surveyed who had had the disproportionate amount of media coverage
compared to the results.
Because remember, Brooks was getting like nothing for his results. And I think number one, basically, because his, you know, his ranking points were zero, he was tumbling down the world ranking list. He was number one. Now, it's not the top of the list you want to be on.
No, I can never figure out, is he a great communicator or can he just not shut up? Because I think back to the Irish Open last year, and he did a press conference, and his press conferences are always 45 minutes, an hour long, and you can ask him anything and he will answer anything. But remember, he lost his clubs ahead of the Irish Open last year, and again, he was in a race to try and qualify for the Open Championship. And I would say he spoke for 45 minutes about these lost clubs. And he went through the bag and what was in the bag. And I've been on the phone to Air France. Good guys. The guys in Air France, and they don't really deal with it. It's a company called Service. You look after the baggage. And been on the phone to those guys for... But listen, I'm just trying to relax.
God, if you met him for a coffee and he was going on with this, it'd be boring, let alone telling you in the press
conference. I like him.
Yeah, sorry, we've gone way off track here. Yeah. Like
He is the last winner of the US Open at Pebble Beach. It's perfectly fine to talk about.
No, I know, but we've been talking about him for so long and not in a overly complimentary way, I feel. So that's the tweet from Brian Hegarty. Thanks for that, Brian. It will be good to have him at Portrush. Bobby Stakelam then says, this is just one of these funny things because this was on May 31st. He said, enough is enough. Time for the buddy on the bag to go. Rory McIlroy needs a proper caddy. Third shot in 15 should be the nail in the coffin. It's getting sad now. # memorial tournament. Just shows. Okay, they are your tweets. We're talking US Open. There's actually plenty of nice little stories going on around here. I think we should start in McIlroy. I know, obviously, Pebble looms large now, but just to even touch on what he did in Canada. He was at the Champions Dinner, incidentally, last night at Pebble with all the US Open champions, sitting at what he said was the young table. Him, Erica, Brooks Koepka and his girlfriend, Jenna Sims, Jordan Spieth and his wife, Annie. It was really cool, the stories we were telling. We must have stayed about an hour and a half after everybody else had left. We shut the place down, just chatting. It was really cool. So they had a good time with the Champions Dinner.
The wives were invited.
To the Champions Dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Augusta way, would it?
No, absolutely not.
So, 22 under par, won by 7. 64-61 at the weekend. A 16th PGA Tour title at the age of 30 is no bad thing, Rory. His second win of the year. In the midst of all this kind of doom and gloom and what have you done for me lately in 5 years since you last won a major, he has been playing very well. The performance on Sunday was outrageous.
Oh, it was as good as it gets. Everything seemed to be just dialed into perfection. His short game, his iron play in particular, and his putting. You look at the statistics.
Yeah.
I think he's the first time ever that a player in a round of a tournament had topped pretty much all the main strokes game categories in one tournament. And it probably just reinforces that Rory's best is better than everybody else, but he can't get to his best as often as everybody else.
Yeah, it was so rare to see him at his best. Extra wedge in the bag. He had 4 wedges in the bag.
Saw that, yeah.
Like that?
I do. You know, I said it from a long time ago, his wedge play needed to improve. He needed to be more like Dustin Johnson and really, really work on his wedge play. And he seems to have done that a little bit anyway. His wedges were dialed in. He played like a practice round on Sunday. You know, when he got his nose in front, he just kept on going. You know, he holed a lot of putts. The only disappointing thing I saw was out of the whole thing, and I'm only being picky, as we probably can be on this show, is his shot into 16 and his shot into 18 when he had a chance of shooting 59, which was just disappointing.
Somebody in the Golf Weekly WhatsApp group made a similar point.
Who would be Mr. Negative? I was like, is it being incredibly picky and incredibly negative to say that actually the two times the pressure came on in that final round? So on 16, he was in a position where he probably had to birdie two of the last three, and he needed to be aggressive in that shot, and he made a mess of it. Then he goes, the shot he hit on 17 for the eagle was one of the great shots of the season so far. Puts himself in a position again on 18, where the pressure's on, hits a terrible approach, then hits a terrible putt. That actually, when he was freewheeling, it was fine, but when there was a little bit of pressure, he wasn't as comfortable.
But would you not have changed your strategy there, being... at the time, what was he, 7 ahead playing the last, or 6 ahead? Would he not have taken driver off the tee? You know, he drove it so well.
Can you take driver off that tee? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you fly the little
water? Well, I think he was in it so far at that time. You know, he needed to make birdie. Mm. And, you know, to shoot 59, you don't get too many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, let's take another sport, look at snooker. You know, how many chances do you get to, have one of 147? And no matter what happens, you go for it at the end because the frame is over.
Yeah,
like that tournament was over.
Yeah,
he had won it. Mm. Now shoot 59. Mm.
Was he not hitting his irons so well though, that laying up with the 5 iron, which he did very well? What did he hit in 7, 6 or 7 iron?
Yeah, it looked like 6 iron, did it?
That's not, you know, it's not like he hit a 9 iron off the tee.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those things. How applicable is what he did at that course, the Hamilton course, to Pebble Beach?
To be honest with you, I don't think it'll come into consideration this week. Confidence-wise is up, but, you know, it's a major. These guys seem to be basing themselves around majors and major tournaments, and Canada is literally just a warm-up. It's to get his game ready for a major.
Yeah.
So he's in a good position, but...
But in terms of course, it's...
Course looked very similar to what a US Open is going to be like. You know what I mean? Small greens
heavy,
and
Havana greens as well. Interestingly, Fiona, at the Champions Dinner, he was talking to Johnny Miller, and Miller was saying to him, you know, if you look at the history of major championships, the first round is pretty much crucial. And McIlroy was even saying himself, 2011 US Open started with a 65, 2012 USPGA a 67, 2014 Open in Liverpool, a 66, and then the 2014 at Valhalla, USPGA, a 66. I think since then, in the 17-odd majors, he's broken 70 just 3 times in the 17-odd majors. Like, this guy, he's reversed into too many Sunday finishes, and the first round's often a tricky one for him. He's conscious of that.
Yeah. To a certain sense, Canada looked a little bit like Pebble, but Pebble, the greens are much smaller. It's not as long. It's going to be, a shade over 7,000 yards.
Yeah.
So it's not a bomber's course. Like Rory's length will be negated. And I agree. I mean, obviously, he's playing beautifully. He's hitting some... And his wedge game is much better now than it was even at the beginning of the season. But he's going to need every single bit of it, because it's not just hitting small targets. It's hitting specific areas and small targets. I think one of the texters who said, it's time to get a new caddy. Harry Diamond clearly is a good caddy, but he's not a good green reader. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but there's a lot of issues to do with reading the Poana greens at Pebble. And Tiger talks a lot about it. He's got great confidence. I just don't see him winning. Mm. I don't see him doing that great this week. I see him doing fine, but I just think that his strengths, that driving distance, I mean, Nathan, you talked, the drive in 17 was a 341, and then he hit a 7-iron, 196-odd yards. That was phenomenal. But, you don't need it at Pebble. You don't need that. You don't need to own the course like that. It's all about target, and you got to hit below the flags. And I just think it's an entirely different proposition. And as confident as he is, I could be wrong, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
But I just don't see Rory being a big factor this week.
Yeah. Interestingly, Woods was talking about 2000, and he said he never went to the flagstick. The greens are so small. It was almost the same portion of each green each day across the 4 days and go from there, which is staggering when you think he finished 15 shots clear and 12 under. Do you give Rory a big chance this week? Like, on balance, are you expecting him to be in the top two or three?
I think he'll reverse into a top 10, like he always does, seems to, in a major.
I hate those reverse Sundays with him.
Mm. Well, they're pointless. We end up reading something into them that's totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
The thing with Rory is you sort of feel you'll know by tonight whether or not he has a chance. 100%. On what you're saying.
He's such a good front
runner. Actually, if he can go out and shoot 65, 66 in the first round, he'll hang around. He won't collapse over the course of the weekend. But if you shoot 72 and somebody's going to shoot 65 or 66, the standard's so good these days. Mm. Like, trying to catch up 7 or 8, push yourself on that course is impossible.
Poana Greens, there's, like, Fionn mentioned them there. They can get a bit bobbly, especially as the day goes on.
Very much so. Go back to kind of Wentworth and stuff like that, where those kind of greens are bobbly and they're fast. It takes a bit of nerve to hit your kind of 4 footers into the hole.
Do we have Poana here?
In certain golf courses, I think so, yes.
Right. Do you know any golf courses where there's definitely Poana, so I know for sure if I've played on it?
Most of the old style golf courses would have had Poana in it, like the Grange, the Castle, Newlands, those old-style golf courses.
Played the Castle on Friday, just gone. They were the smoothest-looking greens I ever played on. They're beautiful.
They're beautiful until the afternoon, and then they start to seed a little bit, and they can be a little bit softer than other greens.
Okay.
But a lot of the technology now is taking the Poana out of them.
Really. Mm. Right. Brooks Koepka, we should talk about. Going for third US Open in a row, not since Willie Anderson in 1905. So, the big story of Brooks Koepka is the Fox video, the promo, which he's not in.
Shocking, isn't it?
Well, you weren't the only one shocked. Here's Brooks Koepka yesterday in his press conference.
I've just been never one to complain, make excuses. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear anybody's excuse. I find it annoying even when I play with guys and they're, dropping clubs or, throwing them or complaining. And I'm like, God. Telling me how bad the golf course is or how bad this is. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's just something we've all got to deal with, and if you play good enough, you shouldn't have a problem.
Apologies, my fault. That's him talking about players complaining about the setup, which he's not going to do. On the Fox video thing, we're amazed I wasn't in it, just kind of shocked. They've had over a year to put it out, so I don't know. Somebody probably got fired over it, or should. There's a couple of things where it's just mind-boggling. It's like, really? How do you forget that? It doesn't make sense to me. It's amazing that a fella who's won 4 of 8 majors has, like, the biggest chip on his shoulder. And it's, it hasn't been softened even slightly or dented slightly because of this stuff. Someone tweeted to me saying this video is, like, a year old and they sent him the wrong video, but I haven't seen any other person say that. So I actually do think it is the 2019 Fox preview.
Even if it was a year old, though, he was also defending champion. Champion last year.
All over it, defending champion. But whoever made it, never mind them. Whoever reviewed it to let it go out should be absolutely shot.
Is he just looking for a chip in his shoulder at this stage?
But like you in a
this
tournament.
Was one promo out of several Fox promos. Now you would assume, and we all put together montages and different things, whereby if you're doing that, the first thing you do is look. And you put in last year's
champion
holding that winning putt. And again, maybe the difficulty is you're looking for emotion. You're looking for, maybe the promo was all about the emotion of winning the US Open and all the famous celebrations and Graham McDowell's dad running onto the green to celebrate rather than the old shrug of the shoulders from Brooks Koepka when he won it last year.
Maybe they're trying to sell to a mainstream audience. Mm. Name golfers, Phil, Tiger, Rory, Jordan Spieth. There's your minute done. Bye. Oh, crap, Brooks. That's what happened.
Well, what was McDowell doing in there then?
That's just Nathan. I don't know if he was in it, was he?
No, I have no idea, but I'm saying that this could
he was in it.
Yeah, but he won the last US Open in Pebble Beach. I'm just saying there could be a...
He did. 2010.
Sorry, he did, yes.
Yeah, probably. I'm just saying that it could well have been a iconic US Open moment.
Sure.
Of which Brooks Koepka has not had one over the last couple of years.
Now look, on balance, even if he's pointless, and even if like a mainstream audience are like, oh, there's Tiger, Phil, Rory, Jordan Spieth, cool. Who's that guy? You just put him in holding the trophy. So even the uninitiated know. Oh, well, he's
surely
clearly
they
the
know
champion.
Him now. He's won 4 majors in the last 8.
Peter, I'm not being funny. Brooks Koepka could walk into this office in his golf gear, and I'd say, if you had half the room know who he is, I'd be shocked. Maybe 3/4.
Oh, I would be.
Wouldn't know.
Half, there's no way in hell half would know.
If Tiger walked
in. Tiger Woods walked in.
Are you telling me everybody would recognise him?
Tiger could walk in his civvies and everyone would know him. I'm saying if Brooks Koepka walked in his Nike hat and his golf gear.
Okay.
Carrying a 6-iron.
Maybe even with a golf
Ricky
bag.
Ricky Elliott on the bag.
Maybe even with a golf bag that said Koepka on it. I still don't think people would know. Sorry, I was in Ivan Yates has previewed every major with me this year.
Right.
Every single time. And Koepka, is he?
Yeah. I actually listened to it. I thought he was hilarious yesterday.
Well, he's getting better, but he still doesn't know the guy's name.
No.
So, yeah.
No, sorry, I thought he was funny with Shane, about Shane Lowry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's history.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what we talked about.
Like he brought it up.
So Shane
least.
Called me a bollocks, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. In fairness, he was not the only one.
Fox, are we angry on Brooks Koepka's behalf, Fionn?
No. Here's the thing is, Koepka's right.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
But as Nathan pointed out, there's lots of promos with him in it. Just it's the general promo, for whatever reason, they don't have him in it. It's, as you say, it's obviously an oversight. So he's right. He should be included. He's won the last two. He's going for a three-peat. He is the current US Open champion. There's all the reasons. But here's the thing. Shut up about it. Like, have some dignity. Have some grace. Like, stop being such a whiny little cow. Like, that's what he... Like, I'm sorry. I have to
get another interview again.
Yeah.
Nah, to hell with him. Like, I thought his...
But we like Ricky Elliott, like, right?
Yeah, Ricky Elliott's great. No, but it's like, he's right. But just because you're right doesn't, like, for him, I'm sorry, Peter, I'm going to disagree with you, but for him to say that someone should be fired?
I thought that was too far.
Dude, you're a millionaire many times over. Some young person working at Fox has, you know, been told, get that promo together. And what, they should be fired because your feelings have been hurt? Stop being such a whiny little cow.
I agree with that. I calling for someone's job or putting that kind of pressure is terrible.
And I'm sure, and I'm also, I am sure in hindsight, Koepka goes, okay, I didn't actually mean I want to see someone fired. Maybe it's just an angry turn of phrase. But it's like, but this, Koepka has form and he, to a certain degree, is correct. It's like he isn't given the media attention that perhaps his... ability deserves or his accomplishments deserve. But there's a reason for it. And it goes back to the Graham McDowell argument. This is that Graham McDowell is smart enough to know is this is how you play the game. Brooks Koepka doesn't play the game. And listen, I've just spent the last 2.5 weeks in California. Like, I'm not kidding. Golf is a incidental occurrence in the sporting calendar. The US Open is incidental to the NBA Finals. It's not a big deal. Sure. I didn't see like a huge amount of prep. And if you're going to be, you guys mentioned Phil, Tiger, if you're going to be the guys that kind of rise above just like that small world of golf, you got to do more than be surly at interviews. And for Koepka not to know that, that's his fault. Media's fault.
The kid not invited to someone's birthday in the class, going on about it forever.
The clip we did play.
Yes.
Is that a well thought out argument? He sort of went with this ahead of the USPGA. He's been saying this consistently of a lot of bitching and moaning going, ironically, a lot of bitching and moaning going on all the time about course setup. Whereas I just get on with it. Like, is he putting it out there so McIlroy and Dustin Johnson and guys who generally get the guys who are thinking about maybe boycotting the US Open of you're mentally weak. Doesn't matter what happens here.
Maybe.
I just get on with it.
I mean, that whole boycotting the USGA thing was nonsense. That was ridiculous.
Same.
Yeah, I think it's not been that bad. You mentioned Johnson, Fionn. So second, third, tied fourth, winner in 2016. Brilliant in the US Open. Won at Pebble, twice the AT the Pro-Am, and obviously 54-hole leader famously as a 25-year-old in 2010 when he shot a 66 on Saturday. Like, it's funny. This it's not a bomber's paradise, and yet someone like Johnson seems to do well. Even before he sorted out his wedges, he was doing well there. So I don't know.
He's the favourite, isn't he?
He is the favourite. Yeah, he's the favourite. And like, I was going to overlook him just on the basis that Dustin Johnson under pressure has a massive question mark over him now. But I don't know. Pebble, my stand. I'm giving Johnson a massive shot here. I think he's going to end up with two or three majors. I think he should end up with six or seven or eight. That is what his talent has merited. But I think he will get two or three just by sheer talent alone. And this is one of the weeks I'm looking at him thinking, everything's set up for you here.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the bookies are right. I would, if I had the choice, oddly enough, between Johnson and Koepka, I'd go with Johnson ahead of Koepka for one simple reason. Not that obviously Koepka can't win, because of course he has shown that he can, but because, and I was reading this, this is not me, but Koepka doesn't play as well when he's got that wind in his face, particularly right to left. And that's the predominant wind on the back nine of Pebble. It's a right to left into you. And so Koepka, who likes this big kind of, that big cut shot that he has, and but he misses left a lot when he's playing into that right to left wind. So for that reason, I would go with Johnson, who I think can control his driver better.
Interesting.
In those conditions.
What are we thinking? Dustin Johnson.
Thoroughly justifies to be favourite. Has finished top four of the last five US Opens. Mm. Clearly, no matter what way they set it up, he can conquer the course. He's had his mental frailties. He should have won two or three of those at the very least. He just has the one from Oakmont, as you said. We know he can play Pebble in a US Open setup with that 66. He's a far, far better player now than he was back in 2010. Like, his short game has been transformed over the last, 9 years? Which is a bit insane to think it is nine years since then. He's won the Pro-Am a couple of times there, which is the sort of form you need. I know it's the most overused term when people look at the US Open at Pebble Beach, that what happens in the Pro-Am is irrelevant because it's such a different course setup. I think Greg McDowell was the first to win the US Open of the previous five who hadn't won the Pro-Am previously, and even McDowell had played well in Pebble Beach the couple of years before that. Funnily enough, actually, McDowell, I don't know if you've read, he said he didn't want to go back. He's played the Pro-Am once since winning the US Open at Pebble Beach, just wanted to play it with his dad once, but sort of wanted to have this sort of mythical feel for him. Okay. So he doesn't go back every year. It's sort of...
See that, the Peter? Media love that kind of stuff.
That's the place. I'm loving it. I was touched.
Brooks kept me right here. Make up stuff like that.
So Dustin Johnson is the best player in the world. Mm. Can turn it on.
Yeah.
And the course, everything set up in his favour. It's just, like, if he collapses here, I'm done.
I feel the way he's most... Sorry, Fiona, I'll let you in 2 seconds. I feel the way he's going to win is be in the mix Saturday, go out in the third or fourth last group Sunday, post a really good score, pressure-free, in as much as you can, and win that kind of way. Or actually steamroll everyone. He might do that as well, Oakman style. But if he's within a shot of the lead with 8 holes to play, I'm just going to watch the car crash unfold. I'm going to put that out there. Mm.
Okay. The thing about Johnson as well is why form would favour him, or history at Pebble would favour him, is that Graham McDowell is the outlier of the winners of the US Open at Pebble, because you consider you had Nicklaus 72, Watson 82, Tom Kite in 1992. And remember, before anyone says anything, Tom Kite won 19 PGA tournaments. So he might be one of the all-time greats, but he had a bit of shape. And of course, Tiger Woods in 2000. And so Graham McDowell, 2010, is the outlier win, which tends to favour great, great champions. And for whatever it is, the demands it makes on the golfer are the ones that it's not just about boomy technology. It's not about hitting the driver a billion miles. It's about being able to carve your way around a very, very tough course, target these very, very small greens that's going to ask the absolute top of the player that's going to win. And if form has anything to say, it means that the truly great champions are the ones that are going to show up. And so I would imagine Johnson, it's an argument in favour of Johnson.
Yeah. Nathan, just as you were coming in, said a terrible thing, because when he said it, I thought, oh God, he could be right. He said, Matt Kuchar could win this bloody thing. And he could.
He could easily.
He really could.
He ticks an awful lot of the boxes.
Wash your mouth out.
I know. Oh. And I foolishly asked the question of, could Matt Kuchar be booed if he won? Would he be a popular winner? And Joe Riley pointed out it'll be.
He's an American. American institution.
Build the wall.
Tiger Woods talking here in his press conference. Obviously 2000, phenomenal. 15 shots clear, 12 under par and all that kind of stuff. Does Pebble Beach suit the 2019 version of Tiger?
Well, if I feel good, then I feel like I can play any venue. It's just that when I'm stiff and not moving as well, it becomes a little bit more difficult. Now, this week, we're all going to be playing from virtually the same spots, and especially if it dries out, then the longer guys will be hitting shorter club, shorter guys will be able to sneak driver down there, and so we're all playing from the same spots. Now, how do you put the ball in the correct position is the key. And these greens. We don't face greens like this, you know, this small and this deep. And so it puts a premium on iron play because, you know, I feel like most of the field can drive the ball in the fairways. They're plenty wide. The golf course is not overly long. But how can you put the ball in the right spot so you can have putts at it?
I listened to his full press conference, half an hour long. You know the way like Jack Nicklaus would turn up and be able to just tell you what the winning score was going to be and seem to have incredible golf IQ, which is Woods does as well. And there are four or five moments where he just summarises the tournament brilliantly. And there's one of them, because someone asked him as well, like, physically, you're not what you were, so can you play it the same way you did in 2000? And in a similar vein to that answer, he said, well, whatever I've lost in age, it's been offset by the golf equipment and the golf ball. So I'll be able to hit a lot of my second shots in from exactly the same spots that where I was in 2000. And he sort of said that there. Now, if that is the case, Padraig Harrington last night on the show wasn't so sure. You can download the Harrington interview. It's somewhere in the Golf Week, the feed there. Harrington wasn't so sure about that. But if he can get to the same spots and he's hitting his approach shots into greens from the same spots, then genuinely, you have to give him unbelievable chance here. Like, this is on for him in such a huge way, if that's true.
The only thing that's different from Tiger from when he won by 15 and now is his putter. He's not as good a putter as he was then. And whether that's nerves or
age,
you know,
or whatever,
age, frailties, whatever it may be, that's the only difference I see. Can Tiger Woods win the US Open? Absolutely.
Mm.
Without a shadow of a doubt. His iron play is superb. His knowledge of a golf course and knowledge of this particular golf course is second to none. And you're right, he can look at a golf course and look at a tournament like Jack Nicklaus, break it down and say, right, there's only 10 guys here really I have to beat, and these are the 10 guys, and, you know, I'm going to go shoot a score.
Mm. He said he was sick at Bethpage as well. He was actually under the weather, illness-wise, and his back was at him. So he wasn't himself. He seems to be in decent form here.
Mm.
Is it possible?
After you mentioned that, I listened back to his press conference as well, and it got me thinking, actually, even with McDowell, maybe it's just incredibly smart golfers who win around Pebble. That actually...
Was Tom Kite smart, yeah?
Genius.
Yeah, he was.
Smart player?
Right. Yeah.
Because Nicklaus and Watson obviously were.
Well, you're talking about a guy who... was he not called the $7 million man at the time? He had accumulated so much money from not winning golf tournaments.
Okay, the Luke Donald of his day, almost.
He was like just sucked it all in.
Okay, but then the strategy smartness, smarts.
And Harrington mentioned last night that also the longer the tournament goes on with Tiger in contention, the stronger he's going to get, and the more he'll start to believe. And it is, in comparison to Bethpage, you would think somewhere he can pick his way around and pick his moments to attack. Even listening back to his interview straight after, I think it was just off the green on 18 in 2000, when he spoke about what he wanted to do on the final day, it was not have any bogeys.
Yeah.
He said, because if I didn't have any bogeys, someone was going to have to shoot a 62.
Yeah.
I knew I'd pick up a couple of birdies. I know the holes where I can pick up a couple of birdies, but the concentration was on just not dropping shots.
Mm.
So if that's the mindset again,
yeah,
you got to think. It's almost like the novelty's worn off now.
Oh, God.
Whereas actually, if he was to win this week, then you're very much into... Oof.
Oh, well then, Jack.
Yeah.
Jack might as well hand it over now.
If only there was somewhere then that we could watch Tiger in the flesh sometime soon.
Can I add something? I think, obviously, this week, and people talk about Tiger 2000, it's the single worst reason to predict how Tiger might fare, talking about Tiger 2000. It's irrelevant. Tiger 2000 is the greatest accomplishment maybe in the history of golf. It's, you know, it's Barcelona in the first year of Pep. Tiger has never matched Tiger at 2000.
Mm.
But I think what gives Tiger a chance is knowledge, experience, and the fact that he played really, really well at Memorial. He didn't score that well. He got a 67 on the Sunday. But tee to green, he was terrific.
Yeah.
Like, his iron play is unbelievably good.
Yeah. And he only needs to be 11 shots worse than Tiger in 2000.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's the guide, and certainly not Bethpage. I would discount, but the way he played at Memorial, even without scoring, suggests that an informed Tiger that's loose, that if he can actually make his swings without being too stiff, I think Tiger is I won't say a really good chance, but I certainly wouldn't count him out, and Yeah, I'm certainly, he's the guy I'm going to be looking at, yeah. Well, as I do most weeks.
Back to our chat about staying up late, I just saw on Sky Sports News there in the office, Tiger Woods, tea time, 10:47 p.m. I thought, oof. Oh, God's sake.
You don't like staying up late, Joe, do you?
I'm terrible, absolute night owl, but like, add 5 hours onto that.
Yeah, Tiger won't be finishing up till 3:30, 4 a.m.
Like, it's,
yeah. there's tough going.
I'm a 1 a.m. guy, I'm not a 4 a.m., 5 a.m. guy.
Well, I'm on California time, so it's perfect for me.
Oh, yeah. That'll ease you back in with the jet lag on it. Jordan Spieth. I had a chance to win 2 majors last year, feeling like I had a C game. I mean, that's realistic. I was in the final group of last year's Open at Carnoustie, and I woke up that morning saying, how in the world am I in the final group at Carnoustie? And that's not just me not believing in myself. That was legitimately, mechanically, how I felt through my swings. It just wasn't good compared to when I was on. And now he's back on.
Oh, he's on.
Nathan Murphy's had a nibble on Jordan Spieth.
Oh, yes.
Have you?
Now, I've since read that maybe there's still been a bit of a struggle on Poana Greens in terms of his putting. Okay. But it's the first time in 18 months he's had 3 consecutive top 10 finishes. And his putting is largely responsible for that. Strokes gained on his opposition, tee to green, over those last 3-4 tournaments, 6.9 strokes. Oof. Strokes gained putting, 28.3.
Yikes.
Nathan, since I started doing this with you.
Yikes. Right?
Since I started Yikes. Doing this with you, right?
It was all leading up to this moment where you were going to be wrong.
No, since I started doing this with you, what did I say about Jordan Spieth? His whole game is based around his putter.
Yeah, and you said he'd never get it back.
And you're just after proving it there now, right? Yeah. I didn't say he'd never get it back.
Oof.
No, I did not go back and say what I said. I said that if he got his putter back, he'd be a good player. But at this moment in time, he's lost the putting knack. Let's put it this way. Now, get him on Poana greens and get them fast and get them slippery. There's a lot of scar tissue there. Lay your bet.
Oh.
Wow.
Really? So you think that Poana is going to gnaw away at him?
Absolutely, yeah.
He said they're the best Poana greens he's ever played on Monday.
Okay.
They're very soft, they're running true.
But they're not going to be soft. It's like many, many years ago when we used to go to Dubai, the place was green. Absolutely, grass was perfect on a Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday. Come Sunday, the greens were a really light colour brown. They were nearly dead. They were as fast as anything.
Mm.
And that's what US Open's going to do. They'll just dry them out.
He's in a hell of a group. Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Tiger Woods, 10:09 p.m.
10:09. I get the first.
I watched 3 hours
seven
of that.
Seven holes.
3 hours of that, yeah.
I know, midnight now.
Record the rest. What's tomorrow? Friday. Oh, yeah, done. Grant.
Lads, the USGA have said that to avoid previous disasters, that they're going to syringe the greens between the morning and the afternoons so as to avoid the accelerated drying out of the greens. It's so that could be a factor.
Paul McGinley was on the show on Tuesday, Fionn, and he was saying, I hope they don't do that. I hope they keep the US Open identity. I hope they hold their nerve. But he did fear that, frankly, they're just so afraid of screwing this thing up again and losing a few greens like they did last year, that they will syringe them and keep them running smooth. Mm. But McGinley was saying that's not what the US Open is meant to be about.
Are the US Open or USGA frightened of the players now?
Oh, I'd say so.
Are they?
If Rory McIlroy and a few others boycotted a US Open,
it would never happen.
The USGA would have to relinquish control of the tournament.
Threatening to do it, if they actually came out and said, we're not playing in 6 weeks' time at the US Open.
Yeah.
I think Mike Davis would have to resign.
Mike Davis has effectively, from what I can see, disappeared.
Mm.
Mike Davis ain't running this tournament the way he used to, it would appear.
Like anything, though, we're all, you know, as professionals, we're sole traders. And are you really going to take the thing of going, right, I'm not playing?
No.
You're not going to do it.
No, but you can do what Nathan did.
We're going to say, yeah, you're going to threaten it.
You can have 8 weeks.
You're never going to do it.
No. You were talking to Shane Lowry's caddy, did I hear?
Bo, yes. I just asked him how Shane was getting on. Shane was in a great position head-wise, he said. Swinging the club very well, putting well.
Has sorted out his driver woes after using a bazillion different drivers.
Yeah, I was listening to Pádraig talk about it last night.
I didn't realise that was what was going on.
Yeah, he's been struggling quite a bit. Since he... he had this favourite TaylorMade driver that he used, and he cracked the face of it. And ever since, he's been looking, kind of searching for a driver. And he's gone through quite a few, but now he seems to have found one that he's very comfortable with.
I just found that incredible. I really did. Like, I get how me, Nathan, Fionn will have a favourite club, because there's an element of luck where we go into a shop, it feels okay, it's off the rack, we buy it, and just, again, by luck, it suits us and our swing speed, and it's just the right one. But, like, I just would have thought at Lowry's level, he goes in, he gets measured by the very best people with the very best technology, and they say, this is 100% the best club for you, and off he goes. I couldn't believe that a professional in the top 100 in the world, now 32nd in the world, is going from club to club to club to try and find one. I genuinely shocked.
Well, go to the range, especially when Porik is testing drivers, right? And he will have 10 drivers made up the exact same. No joke. He will say, make me up this driver 10 times, and that driver will be different.
Just by dint of human error?
Exactly.
Okay.
And face thickness and stuff like that, until he finds a fast one. And then he'll use the fast one.
When you say a fast one?
That the ball actually goes a little bit further off one particular driver. Because the face is slightly thinner than the other drivers.
And if he said to the manufacturers, that one there is the fast one of the 10, yeah, make that one another few times. They can't. There's an element of
pure luck involved.
Because I keep buying the duds.
There's a couple of fast ones out now.
Tiger, not some sort of superhuman power with this.
Yes,
was there
not
a book, yeah, in the book of that. It was down to a gram.
It was an ounce or a gram heavier. Mm,
and he could tell.
He brought it in and they said, no, honestly, you're wrong. And then they checked it and he was able to tell the ounce.
If you're in the height of your sport, you'll know exactly.
Because, look, I'm a rank hacker, I know that, okay? But I was hating my driver the other week and I went to the driving range and I just took a bunch out with me and I picked the best one after hitting a few balls with each and traded my driver for that one.
What driving range did he go to?
The one in Selbridge. It was out near my... Okay. Out near, I was meeting my dad for a coffee. Oh, I'll come to you every time. Yeah, you know that.
Wow.
As long as I'm not there.
Yeah. I played Lucan then the other day. I was embarrassing. I was playing with a guy off 2, another guy off 2, and a guy off 8 who only plays 5 times a year, and I was hacking it around off 13. The first time I hit a fairway was the 18th.
Wow.
Now, I scrambled 36 points, so it was very...
Very good.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, is it me? It must be my swing. But everything else
is
okay.
But it's you, Joe.
Yeah, I know, but, like, can a driver sort out my awfulness?
No, I think what happens, and this happens a lot, right, is you're not swinging the club well.
Yes.
Okay? So then you decide to have a look at your driver, right? And you might change your driver. And then you get a swing thought, or you go to somebody who's a coach, let's say, and they tell you something. You think, yeah, that really works, and you start hitting it okay. And then you start putting the driver into place, but the driver was based around your old swing that you thought you were hitting well, right? And now you're putting a new swing on it.
Yeah.
So really, all the amateurs out there is get a lesson, first of all, and then get a driver to fit what your swing thought is then.
Yeah, because I've always put off paying to get measured for a driver because I figure my swing will change in a year anyway.
It pretty much does.
It's kind of a grim thought, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why they brought out an adjustable driver. You can actually adjust it yourself.
Yeah. But the shaft, it might need to be changed and stuff, would it?
Not necessarily.
Okay, that won't change.
That really won't change.
But the club face might change.
Correct.
Okay. I should have asked you all this off air, but it was on my mind.
But there you go. Okay. And then the listeners can...
No, it's interesting. So generally, if you're thinking, oh, my driver's not up to scratch, it might be the club face that might
start
there. You need
to slight adjustment.
Not the
adjustment,
shaft.
Yeah.
Is the shaft only changed with your swing speed? Is that what the shaft is about?
Shaft is more a case of where you load the club. You know what I mean? When you take the club back and you load it, that's where the shaft really is.
Okay. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is more of kind of a swing speed than anything else than the shaft is based around. So you're not really going to change your swing speed that much.
No.
No matter what somebody tells you to do.
Yeah.
So it's more where the club head comes into the ball.
Okay.
Did you get all that, Fionn?
I did.
Very good.
Look at him sitting there with his hands spread. He's
playing
well.
You haven't fallen asleep yet, no?
Sorry.
No,
I let it out.
No, but it's...
But on Larry,
everything you said makes perfect sense, Peter. I've been fitted for clubs, and I've talked to different guys who are proper golfers like yourself, and they always say something similar to what you've just said. So you're just reiterating a point. But it still doesn't stop me sticking with my, I've had the same driver for 9 years and I still hit it as shit as ever, so it's fine.
Look at Henrik Stenson with his 3-wood. How long did he have that?
Good, 6-7 years.
Yeah. Shane was the same with the driver. He literally had the driver when he turned pro and he kept it all the way up.
And nothing would have changed on it? Regripped? What's been changed on it?
Just a grip, possibly.
So the driver.
It's Monty with his 3-wood.
Monty with his 3-wood, is that right? Yeah.
Monty had a 3-wood for 20 years.
So if Larry, if someone sneakily switched a replica, he'd know within a shot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He'd know what the practice meant.
It's very fragile, a lot of them, then, aren't they? Like, is every club like your driver?
You should test that out.
You should for the crack.
Yeah.
When you're playing with them next.
Down to the Irish Open.
See.
Yeah, practice round.
God.
Caddy will know straight away.
It's a very precarious situation for lots of driver.
It's a bit like a race car, you know? Yeah. The driver will know that there's slight adjustments made to the race car.
I'd say there's some players though who are like, whatever, just give me the, give me any of them, it's fine.
Very few.
Really?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other final thoughts on Pebble?
Yes. One final thought. These are all nice stories. These are all lovely stories of Phil Mickle. Sorry, goddammit. Edit that out so I can build up to a problem.
No, we're not doing it.
Goddammit, I've ruined it now.
Who do you want to talk about, I wonder?
I want to talk about Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate.
I think we're missing loads of players, to be
honest. Patrick Cantlay, by the way, is the least... I mean, Patrick Cantlay's about 8th in the betting for a guy who's like, you know, not a...
He's finished top five in both majors so far?
Yeah. I didn't realise he was world number one amateur for 54 weeks, which is an all-time record. And that, so he 9th at Augusta, 12th at the Open last year. One Memorial 2 weeks ago, California native. He's playing for about a year on the pro ranks with a fractured spine. Now, that will inhibit you.
But he also had a... Didn't his best friend was killed in a crossing a road.
Yeah. Dreadfully.
He was there.
Senseless kind of thing, yeah. But he's back. I feel I haven't seen much of Cantlay, but obviously he's the real deal and he's going to be a major winner.
I think so, yeah.
When he got to the 16th at Augusta, he said, no, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Thanks, lads.
He did.
Ooh, TV cameras. Whoa. Yeah.
So what do I do here?
What's
now?
Happening?
Yeah. Now, whether he's learned from that or whether that's going to be an issue for him remains to be seen.
No, you learned from that. You learned from that.
Who else do you want to mention?
Just loads of players. Like,
hit me.
Look at Molinari, right? Hits it. Daniel Dart. And very good around Poana Greens.
Daniel Dart.
Daniel Dart.
Means?
Straight.
But I just feel like Cockney should like rhyme with the word.
But that's what they call Daniel.
Like if
Dart.
He had said Danny Great straight or something.
Right, no.
Is that not how it works? Danny Dart, because the Dart goes straight.
Daniel Dart.
Do you? Am I offbeat here?
Well, I knew what he meant.
No, I knew what he meant.
I didn't think it was.
Because I know what Molinari means when you say he hits it, it's always going to be straight. But I did, if you had said to me, geez.
It's a golfing saying, I don't know.
Is
it's
it?
Not, yeah.
Because if you had said to me, geez.
That's the banter on the range, Joe. We'll just never get it.
Yeah.
If he said, you hit that driver, Daniel Dart, I wouldn't know if it was a compliment or a.
I'm like, who's Daniel Dart?
Who is this man?
Here's the best way of doing this, right? Okay, here's the betting. Dustin Johnson, 8-1. We've talked about him. McIlroy, 9-1. We've talked about him. Brooks Koepka, 9-1. Tiger Woods is 10-1. Then you go out a little bit to Spieth at 16, Cantlay at 16. Now here we go. Xander Schauffele, 22s. Thoughts?
Americans like Xander Schauffele always end up winning a major.
Yeah.
They always used to like the PGA at the end of the season. It was sort of done and dusted.
A raft of people are on 22s, including playing in his 37th major championship, Ricky Fowler.
Wow.
Yes or no?
He has a great chance.
Does he?
Yes, he does, yeah.
Justin Rose, former US Open winner. Not in great form.
I struggle with Denise's new clubs. It's another guy who's changed clubs for money.
New clothes, new clubs.
And new caddy.
That's right, yeah. That's a bad sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that was enforced, in fairness.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. He was ill.
His caddy's ill.
Okay.
Jason Day alongside Steve Williams. Could this be Steve Williams' greatest win ever?
They do seem like an unlikely combination.
Yeah.
Jason Day's the world's nicest man and, well, Steve Williams.
He's the world's nicest man, though. Like
he had
his caddy, who was his coach, who was his best friend, and he sacked him over a text message.
Well, you're always saying that players should sack their caddies if they're not doing a good enough job.
Did you do it by text message?
Yeah.
When?
3 years ago.
That completely passed me by.
Mm. It wasn't very nice now, but he's still a lovely man.
Day, I would have thought straight hitting Day. Is he in good form? I don't know.
He hasn't been in great form, no.
Very frustrating player, isn't he? Always feels
slow.
well, slow, but also just so much ability and hasn't really kicked on. Ever since he became more than one, never felt like he kicked on.
I looked at the approach to green stats thinking that must be important to Pebble based on everything we've said. The top five this season on the PGA Tour. Number one, Henrik Stenson. Just saying. Number two, Sergio Garcia. We'll probably draw a line through him. Number three, Keegan Bradley.
Having a good season, yeah.
But the one I was building up to, number four at 22-1, Hideki Matsuyama.
You do like Hideki, don't you?
Well, he lurks.
Very close.
You bonded.
Outside
Spieth
the toilet.
And Hideki, I've been surrounded by for too long now.
I just think Adam Scott's 28-1. I had a nibble on Scott when he was 35. So he's playing great.
That putter doesn't deserve to ever win a major again.
No. Do you have any objections to Adam Scott's putter, Fionn?
No. Okay. But the one, what, up close here?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't Bernard Langer it, so no.
Also, he's no Fionn Davenport.
Come on, Fionn, spit it out.
Yeah, and this actually, sorry, he spat it out.
Bernard Langer can do it because he's playing in the Seniors Tour. And I guarantee if Bernard Langer was playing a PGA event and repeatedly, there'd be...
He played the Masters. Played the Masters.
But he would,
finished top.
Yeah,
he finished. Where did he finish in the Masters?
I don't know.
He made the cut anyway.
People would have missed the cut behind him. John Rahm, 2081, not in great form. Tommy Fleetwood, US Open.
63 last year.
US Open. Mm. Is his driver off at the moment? Apparently he's...
Well, he had the driving yips when he first came on tour.
I think there's a few issues over his driver, but his approach shots are...
Yeah, he did a podcast with... Was that Life on Tour podcast?
Yes, yeah.
And he spoke about how he ended up going back to his childhood coach.
Couldn't get the club back.
Who... fixed everything, but he said literally he could not hit the ball off the tee.
I know how he feels.
Yeah, so do I, Fionn.
Yeah, it's not pretty when you see it. Okay, I'm nearly done here. Molinari hits a Daniel Dart, of course.
I really don't know where we're getting this one.
Matt Kuchar at 35-1.
Oh, it can't be Daniel Dart.
You've planted a seed here with Kuchar and me.
It's a fear.
It's a real concern. Alongside him, 35-1, Webb Simpson. If it's Kuchar and Webb Simpson, I'm going to bed.
I backed Webb Simpson. I just think...
Stop.
The game is set up beautifully for Pebble Beach. Having a fine season.
Peter Lawrie's favourite. If I'm a touch of Matsuyama, and I'm also in the Spieth camp with Nathan, then you, my friend, are in the Tony Finau camp.
I am in the Tony Finau.
Yeah, he's 40-1.
Again.
For this
and
one.
I gave out to myself for not backing him the last
I major. Backed him because of you.
Yeah.
Come here, that doesn't suit him, does it, Pebble Beach? Finau, big hitter?
Not really.
Okay. Finally then, Shane Lowry's at 40s and Brant Snedeker, 40-1.
Yeah.
Well, he's won the Pro-Am previously, obviously.
Not a bomber.
Like a demon.
Yeah. I'd give him first round leader.
Oh, he has let me down.
First time leader?
So many
first
times.
Phil's possibly. Not in the top.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Let me go back and this is why I stuck a few quid in Phil, because he's unbelievable value. Game is in good shape. Won a Pebble Beach already this year. Putting letting him down so far, but he'll go back to Pebble, he'll go, I like this place, it'll all just come together, and think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Sunday night, Phil Mickelson's birthday. Turns 49.
But his whole game now is...
Shut up.
Daniel Dart wants to speak.
3 a.m. Sunday morning, Monday night. Joe Malloy has stayed up late because something magical is happening.
That's true.
Phil Mickelson's 49th birthday.
Father's Day.
About to become the oldest major winner of all time.
Jeez.
To complete the career Grand Slam in California at Pebble Beach, sacred ground. It's written in the stars.
How many fictional books do you read?
Honestly, there's a chance, no? Phil, this is it, like, for Phil. This
Phil's
is it for
Phil.
This
whole game now is based around length. That's all he's...
Bombs. Just,
that's all he's concerned about. Teeing it up as...
Bombs!
He hates bombs.
Oh, God, I hope he does the daily videos. Yeah.
Sorry, he won a Pebble a few months ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Was that before the bombs?
No, it was mid-bomb.
Okay.
Here, honestly, Phil, there's a chance. There's a hell of a chance. Okay, what's your dream final pairing on Sunday? They're 8 shots clear of the field. It's a Stenson-Phil kind of scenario.
I'd hate to be...
What's your dream last two ball? I'll come to everyone.
Okay. Brooks and Shane.
That's the most boring answer I've ever heard. Jesus. You should not be allowed back here for weeks. Right, Tiger Phil, 100% nailed on.
I got thrown out for a couple of weeks, I think.
No, we just didn't do a podcast.
All right.
Tiger and any one of the other Phil, Rory, Spieth,
Kepka, any one of them, yeah. Tiger and any one
it's
of
kind
them.
Kind of Tiger and another.
Would be.
Tiger and Rory's just behind it.
I thought the 2 years ago for Spieth and Hideki. No? Last group.
Brooks and Shane. Sorry. I said you could pick anything.
There's been a lot of great majors over the last 3 or 4 years, and generally they've actually been brilliant because there's been 4 or 5 of them. Yeah. But you look at actually major leaderboards over the last 3 years, it seems to be the same. Mm. Brooks, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Fiona, what's your dream final pairing?
Tiger and Spieth.
Didn't have to think about it. Not Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, no?
Oh my God. See, I was thinking about Ireland.
Brooks Koepka and Lowry, Shane Lowry. Yeah. I'd love, by the way, no. See, the problem is if Brooks and Lowry, I would sell my house to see Lowry win.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Would you not want Lowry and Tiger?
I want Tiger and Spieth.
Who would you want to win between Lowry and Tiger?
Oh, that's unfair.
Tiger.
Be honest,
Dion. You're allowed to think it. You're just not allowed to say it.
You can't say it, Dion.
People get very patriotic. I remember when Webb Simpson won the US Open, he beat Graham McDowell, came second, and I backed Webb Simpson at 80-1. Mm-hmm. And I must have been tweeting about, go on, Webb.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. How could I do such a thing and turn my back on my countryman?
Yeah,
if I had Peter's knowledge of what a desperate individual Graham McDowell is, I would have had something to go
back. Take that back.
Slander.
That's totally untrue.
Trying to choose between Tiger and Larry would be tough. Yeah. Well, I couldn't not cheer on Larry. You just couldn't not.
It'd be a win-win.
If what happened? Either one
is a great story.
It would be.
What about Tiger v Rory?
Oh yeah, look, I mean, Tiger against Rory, Phil, Larry, Spieth, all.
No, who would you cheer on, Tiger or Rory?
He's saying Tiger here, but his mouth is not moving.
Saying Tiger, but there's a possibility if Rory wins, he might come on the show next week.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, Tiger. Probably Tiger, probably. It's one of those scenarios you actually don't know until you're there and you see one of them miss a putt and you suddenly realise, I'm up for him.
Well, you also don't know, in a way, until what happens over the next 10 years, because if Rory wins and it kicks on to this 3-4 year spell where suddenly he wins 4 or 5 more majors, you want to see that.
Yeah.
But if it's Tiger suddenly closing in on Jack's record...
If it was Tiger Rory at Augusta, I would want Rory to win for the Grand Slam. But at the moment, Tiger v Rory, the US Open, Rory has congressional. I would think, I want to see Tiger really get close to 18. I want to have that story grow. So that's the logic.
Is anybody going to have a bet on a playoff?
No. Why are you?
I'm just asking. I think it's could more than likely will happen. Could more than likely will happen.
I feel like you're boring yourself with this.
Okay. I am fucking bored. Get me out of here.
Anything else? You've been spending too much time playing Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
No, I think that are we done? Suffice to say, this is going to be great.
Of course, Peter's going to be far more entertainment in November, Joe.
Oh yes, sorry.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because off the ball, are heading for some winter sun, Peter. You've got the all clear.
Working on the passport.
Okay. Winter sun and top class golf, and we want our listeners to join us. The OTB crew, along with special guests Kevin Kilbane, Kieran Donaghy, Peter Lawrie, and more, taking on two of the best courses in the world, the Yas Links and the National, for the first ever Off the Ball Open this November. 5 nights in a 4-star hotel, selling point. Gala dinner, selling point. World famous OTB roadshow, selling point. Peter Lawrie Golf Clinic. Well, Joe Molloy ruined that.
Well, he's just yawning at the whole aspect
He just ruined that for everybody. Maybe you could focus on that for the next few months, and just a simple tip for everybody. Maybe not try and entirely reconstruct everybody who's there as swing.
I only gave him 2 tips.
I'm just saying.
Two of them.
People are investing. They're coming out. They're wanting a good time. They don't want to come home with their entire golf game ruined for the next 3 months. Anyways, November 17th, 23rd, Abu Dhabi, offtheball.com/open.
That's where you got all the info.
Peter Lawrie Golf Clinic. We'll have to start of something beautiful.
Mic you up and get you giving some
little headset,
tips.
One of those Beyonce headsets.
Lovely.
Will we finish by going, if your life depended on it, who's going to be the winner? Is that the best way to finish?
Is that the best way to finish?
I don't know. I think it might be, because otherwise we've run out of steam here anyway. Okay. We're just faffing on. Regardless of value for money in the betting, if your life depended on it, the most likely winner at Pebble Beach 2019. We will start with Peter Lawrie, the golf pro. I need to get my answer in my head. Right.
I'm going to say I'm caught between about three or four.
Your life depends on it, Peter.
Beckett, Tiger.
Oh my God, really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That is exciting.
I haven't backed them, but I don't know why, because again, on Sunday night, it's going to have looked easy. Dustin Johnson.
Fionn?
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. There we go. All right, gents, that is us done. I'm the host. I'm eliciting good stuff.
No, you got it. You can't just sit in the fence there, by the way.
Ooh, most likely.
Don't be looking at the things. Close your eyes and pick a winner. Today.
Yeah. So hard, isn't it?
That's the bloody point.
I'm saying no to Rory. I'm saying no to Brooks. It's just too much. Speed, I'm saying no to. Cantley, Shoffley, no to.
You see, this was an exciting finale initially, Joe, where everybody picked their one. And now you're
I butchered it. Tiger Woods.
Oh, two Tiger, two DJ.
Right, okay. Fionn, thanks a mil. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Fionn.
Davenport in Manchester, Nathan Murphy and Peter Lawrie here in studio. We will review this whole thing next week, Wednesday or Thursday, I would presume. So enjoy the US Open. You'll get us at Golf Weekly OTB if you want to fire in tweets or thoughts. Thanks very much.
Golf Weekly from Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Off the Ball Open in Abu Dhabi this November. Book your place now at offtheball.com/open.